Hey everybody, it's JT. What is on your holiday meal shopping list? Well, I would suggest Painted Hills Natural Beef. It is some of the best beef in the world. And your friends and family will be thanking you for a long time if you serve Painted Hills Natural Beef for your holiday meals. And now you can buy it online just by going to PaintedHillsBeef.com. Use the code BBQNATION at checkout and save yourself 15% on your order. Give Painted Hills Natural Beef a place on your table this holiday season.
It's Barbecue Nation with JT on a Northwest Lifestyle Weekend. Now here's JT on FM News 101.
So, how's your spring break going? Any brisket or ribs on your plates yet? Hi, everybody, and welcome to the nation. I'm JT, along with the bearded commander of the soundboard, David Shurtleff. Today, we're going to do something a bit different. We call it the In Case You Missed It show. David and I put our heads together and looked at some emails and stuff and came up with some segments we thought were full of good information, or maybe no information at all and just some good humor. We also have some special news that does not relate to the election. How's that? And, of course, we've got Dire Straits on today. We love Dire Straits. David loves Dire Straits, too, don't you, David?
I sure do.
Yeah, we love them. Those guys in Little River Band are all kind of about the same time. They were really, really kind of good. Anyway, we've had Stephen Reichlin on the nation a couple of times in the last 10 months since I took over this time slot, and we have received numerous emails asking us questions about one of his interviews. So we thought we would play it again here for you, Sam, so to speak, Casablanca, get the connection. Anyway, here's Stephen Reichlin. Let's welcome Stephen Reichlin. Stephen, how are you?
I am doing great. How are you?
I'm terrific. How did you come up with this list of your predictions and prognostications for the year in barbecue?
Well, you know, I do a prediction every year of what's happening in barbecue, and this year was particularly exciting because it's a combination of new technology and very old technology that is being discovered, upgraded, upclassed at new restaurants. And it's simultaneously an indication of barbecue's march through the world. Traditional American regional barbecue is turning up all over the planet now. So it was very easy to come up with 10 trends and very exciting to see what's happening in our field.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Now, you say smoking is the new grilling. And I would agree with that because of the, you know, we talk to this stuff all the time here on this show and in, you know, real life and that type of thing. And I know you do. You make your living doing this. But I am seeing more of a trend, me personally, with people that talk to me, send me emails, whatever, about, you know, you get the email, hey, my wife got me a smoker, or I just got a new pellet grill. Can I grill and smoke, et cetera? So in smoking, how much have you seen it take a hold versus just gas grilling, so to speak?
Well, I think what's happened is, first of all, smoking used to be associated with the barbecue belt. And it used to be something primarily done by professionals, competition teams. You know, if you lived in Texas and the Carolinas, you smoked at home.
Sure.
But what has happened, and it's happened simultaneously, for many reasons we can discuss, is that now people are smoking in their backyards, not just on special occasions, not just in the barbecue belt, but all over the U.S. It's due to new technologies. It's due to new affordable smokers, both electric, pellet, charcoal-burning smokers, gas smokers. And it's due also to our changing tastes. You know, a nation that has been obsessed by grilled foods for the last 20 years, now we want to go further. We want to go deeper. We want not only that fiery char, we want the intense wood smoke flavor.
Oh, yeah. You know, and I like it, of course, when you – we'll get to this in a minute, but you're talking about more bacon. All the people sitting on this studio today, they're baconites. That's what I'm going to call them, baconites. We love bacon here.
Okay.
You talk about your grill. We'll talk to your phone. Now, I've seen this, and I must confess that I have that, but I'm not technically savvy enough to put it together yet. But I have a grill that will talk to my phone and a thermometer and a timer and the whole thing. So do you do that? Do you actually have that technology?
I have the technology. We do it on my Project Smoke TV show. But to be honest with you, at home, I'm kind of a more of a touch, feel, look, poke kind of guy.
Mm-hmm.
And, I'll set timers on my phone. But when it actually comes to monitoring the temperature of meat, I prefer to actually look at it and touch it.
Now, I know in one of the pellet grills, they've got a thing that comes on your phone, and you can actually start your grill before you get home. And so it will be up to temperature prior to you getting home and putting your pork butt or whatever you're going to do on it. I find
absolutely, because Lord knows, you know, who can possibly wait the 15 or 20 minutes it takes to get your grill fired up.
Do you have a
But actually, you know, with a smoker, sometimes with some smokers, it takes more like, it can take up to an hour. So, I mean, that's not quite as frivolous as it sounds.
No. But I mean, I do take your point with great reverence there as far as pellet grills don't take as long as, you know, hardwood to get up to temp. And so, I'm kind of like you. I'd rather just kind of, you know, make sure it's there by myself. So, anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Your favorite thermometers, we've got wireless thermometers now, talking about the technology we just were. You write about mm-hmm. the Maverick ET737.
Yep.
What's so good about that for Steve Reichlin?
Well, first of all, I like digital thermometers as opposed to analog thermometers because I feel like digital thermometers give you a more accurate reading. I also like a wireless thermometer, and I like thermometers that can handle multiple probes, right? Because when you're smoking, you want to monitor the temperature of your smoke chamber, and likewise, and equally important, you want to monitor the temperature of the meat.
There you go. And you also write about the new voice-activated smart grill by Lynx. What is that now?
Well, this is a grill that communicates with your iPhone. You can actually talk to it and control the temperatures by talking to it. It's an extension of what's going on with everything, with all our smart appliances. With our smart cars, you know, it's really a new age in the way we interface with machines.
Sure. Now, you also write about the ceramic cookers. I have a couple of them. I have a Primo, and I also have a Black Olive, and I love them both.
Mm-hmm.
What do you like about the Kamado-style grills and ceramic cookers?
Well, I like several things. So, first of all, I like the incredible range of temperatures you can get quickly. You can work low and slow on them. You can get them screaming hot for grilling. And I also like the way they seal in moisture. You know, those 3/4 inch to 1 inch thick ceramic walls, the felt seal between the top and the bottom, the ingenious venting, they really keep the heat in and under control.
Yeah, I like them, too, because I like them where you don't have to fuss with them much. You know?
Uh-huh. Once you set them, they're pretty reliable.
They're pretty reliable. And one thing here, we're going to go to break in a couple minutes, but you talk about the Deli Dials Home, hot pastrami, cold smoked salmon, those types of things. Easy to do at home versus having to go to your local deli.
Well, I think the idea here is that as our sophistication with all things smoking and grilling has grown, dishes that we would never have dreamed of attempting at home, how to smoke your own bacon or smoke your own pastrami,
sure,
or cure and smoke your own smoked salmon, we're doing them at home now. And that's just sort of a natural extension. I mean, if you think about when I started in this business over 20 years ago, you know, what was barbecue? Hamburgers, hot dogs, steak. And I mean, think how incredibly sophisticated we are today.
Oh, absolutely. When I was a kid, which was in the previous century, as I like to say, it was hamburgers, hot dogs, and burnt chicken that my dad could never quite cook. You know what I mean?
Yep.
It was just
yep.
like a,
yep.
Okay, we're going to take a break here. All right, we're going to be back with more of Stephen Reichlin here on Barbecue Nation and more good stuff to come. Aaron Franklin's going to be in this show, too, so don't go away. We'll be right back.
Money working, that's the way you do it. Money for nothing and your chicks for free. Now that ain't working, that's the way you do it. Let me tell you, damn guys ain't dumb. Maybe get a blister on your little finger. Maybe get a blister on your thumb. We got to install.
It's full-flavored radio, Barbecue Nation with JT on FM News 101.
The walk of life with Dire Straits here on The Nation. Welcome back to The Nation, by the way. We'll get back to our interview with Stephen Reichlin in just a minute, kind of our In Case You Missed It show. I want to tell you, if you care to email us, like a lot of people do, it is Barbecue Nation, BBQ Nation, at KXL.com, or if you want to send us a recipe, it's recipes at KXL.com. Also like to say hello to a couple of our affiliates, KFLS in Klamath Falls, yay, and KPNW down in Eugene. Go Ducks. Thank you for letting us spend our Saturday afternoons with you. Now, speaking of Barclays, my friends down at Barclays, Mark and Jamie, they've got the coolest store down there. They got lots of stuff. I'm a guy that, you into stuff, David, just stuff?
Yeah, I love stuff.
Yeah, well, Barclays is your store to go find stuff. So if you're down in Woodburn, down in 99, go see Barclays. Let's come back to our old buddy Stephen Reichlin, and kind of in case you missed it. We have got Stephen Reichlin with us today. Stephen's got a new book coming out, Project Smoke. It's due out in May. We're going to talk about that in a minute. And, again, he will be up here in June 2nd and 3rd in the Portland area doing some appearances, book signings, those types of things. But he has also done his predictions and for trends and things for 2016. Stephen, one of the things you wrote about was lesser-known steaks, and I'm going to jump on something right here. Excuse me. The sirloin flap. I did an event had to do with a football game a couple months ago, and I served kind of stripped out sirloin flaps, and the people absolutely loved them. I mean, it was like they were eating candy. I had had them before, but they were just, I don't know, maybe they were just hungry, you know? Could have been.
Well, I think the point is that all of these lesser-known cuts, they come from more exercised muscles. They've got a lot more flavor, you know, than your standard beef filet mignon. New York strip and a ribeye are pretty awesome steaks.
Sure.
But these new, some of these new steaks, they give you a lot more bang for the buck. They're still inexpensive. They won't be forever as people discover them. But they've got a terrific flavor. And one of my favorites, unfortunately, you have to travel to South America to get it, but it's called the tapa de ojo. And if you imagine a ribeye steak, there's kind of the center core of meat, that's the ojo, the eye, mm-hmm. and then on top of it is a very fatty series of striated muscles. And what they do is they actually cut that off of the eye of the ribeye, and grill that steak, and it's just fatty and crusty and luscious. You just can't imagine how good it is.
You're making me hungry, and that's
that's my job.
That's your job, of course it is. And I also liked, I got your email this morning with the charred T-bone with the bell pepper and onion hash on it. That looked delicious, by the way.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome. I call that a caveman T-bone. Mm-hmm. Sort of brings us to an old cooking method, the oldest grilling method, by the way, that's enjoying a heyday, where instead of grilling a steak on the grill grate, you actually lay it directly on the embers of your fire.
Right.
And you get, I mean, basically what happens is the surface chars and it drives the smoke from the outside in. Gives you an absolutely spectacular flavor.
to get off track from your predictions, but I wanted to ask you a question. You have flat iron steaks, blade steaks, whatever you want to call them. A lot of people tend to shy away from them because they really don't know how to cook them. They're afraid they're overcooked them because they're not a very thick steak. You know, they're used to throwing an inch and a half, if you will, T-bone or ribeye or something on their grill. So what do you recommend for people at their first time experiment with a flat iron or a blade steak or anything like that?
Well, I recommend a very hot fire, not screaming hot, but sort of medium hot to hot. If you were to measure it, you know, set it on your grill, it'd be like between 500 and 600 degrees. And a very short cooking time. So you want to just sear the outside. You want to leave the center quite rare, because if you overcook these belly steaks, what happens is they do toughen up.
Yeah, they can. They can a bit. Now, you talk about you can smoke anything. Now, in my college days, I probably would have agreed with you on that. But
I set myself up for that one.
Yes, yes, you did, but that's okay. That's legal. Have you ever smoked caviar, by the way?
I have smoked caviar, as a matter of fact. We did it just about 2 weeks ago for New Year's Eve.
Was it good? Well, of course it was
good. Oh, it's fabulous. Yeah, fabulous. Now, let's be clear about the caviar we want to smoke. We want to smoke a trout caviar or a salmon caviar. I would not smoke a beluga or Ocetra if I were lucky and wealthy enough to get one of those.
Okay. You talked about cold smokers, too. I have a cold smoker, a little apparatus, if you will, that fits in my Primo, fits in the Black Olive. It actually fits in the gas grills, too. You can do it that way. But I found that kind of interesting to do that, to do, like, fruits, vegetables, that type of thing. You cover that in some of your TV shows.
Oh, absolutely. I'm glad you mentioned the show, because we are coming up. Exactly 1 week from yesterday. I'm heading out to Palm Springs. We're going to be taping season 2 of Project Smoke. That airs on public television, of course. And in season 2, we are definitely going to be doing some cold smoking. In fact, we're getting some beautiful salmon from Alaska. And I'm going to cure it with Scotch whiskey and smoke it with whiskey barrels.
You're my hero. You're my hero. That's all I can tell you.
That's going to be pretty awesome.
Yeah, I think it will be pretty awesome. Maybe I'll come watch you film it, and I'll be your official sampler.
Well, I know a lot of you Oregonians go down to Palm Springs in the winter to escape some of that rain. So if you're in the vicinity, we'll be given full details on my website, which is barbecuebible.com.
Yep, it's very good. All right, coming up next, we will have, I guess I should say thank you, Stephen Reichlin, but coming up next, we will have Aaron Franklin. I wonder if those two get along. Anyway, we'll be back with more on The Nation right after this.
It's Barbecue Nation with JT on a Northwest Lifestyle Weekend. Now here's JT on FM News 101.
Welcome back to the Nation. This would be the Barbecue Nation. That kind of sounds like a church hymnal, doesn't it?
Yep.
It does. If you knew anything about Mark Knopfler, definitely not a church hymnal. I can tell you that. That is Tunnel of Love by Dire Straits there. You guys have sent in emails, too, about Aaron Franklin. And on our show today, in case you missed it, we are going to lay some tracks on you here from Aaron. Aaron will be back up this summer, too, and he will probably come into the studio. And this is usually where we do the lightning round, but we're not doing that today because we want to get all of Aaron's interview in here. So stick around for that, and we want to tell you really quickly before we do, Aaron, Bear Mountain Forest products. Best pellets made. I'm using them like every day now, literally. And they are the best pellets made for your pellet grill. So Bear Mountain Forest products. Check them out online at bearmountainforestproducts.com. There, I've said enough. Let's roll with Aaron Franklin.
We are very fortunate today to have Aaron Franklin from Franklin's in Austin. Tough to get a seat in your place once in a while, like every day, if you're not in line.
Yeah, maybe so. I think we've only got 37 chairs. So, yeah, it's not real big.
I had a friend who went to a seminar in Austin. And when he was going down there, I said, hey, why don't you go over to Franklin's? You know, it's a great place. And so he kind of wandered over there, and he said he got there at, like, I don't know, 11:45 or something. He said, I couldn't get in. There wasn't any meat left or whatever. It was so funny.
That might be getting a little late on some days. You know, we cook an awful lot of meat. We really don't run out of meat till about 3 o'clock, 3:30 kind of area. But the people that eat at 3:30 may have gotten there at 10 a.m. So it's kind of one of those tricky little things for us.
So before we went to break, we were going to talk about the difference between good smoke and bad smoke. And you highlight that in your book. And I find that fascinating because Texas has its own indigenous wood. Oregon has its own indigenous wood. You know, different parts of the country obviously have, you know, whatever you want. But you kind of make it an interesting thing, because I think most people, especially if they've got a stick barbecue, if you will, like that, they just throw wood in and go. And yep. you're very succinct about how you build the fire and what wood to put where and that. You want to run us by that a little bit?
Yeah, well, I mean, to get it, so when you say like a clean fire or a dirty fire, you know, obviously if you choke off an air supply to a fire, fire needs oxygen, so if you choke that off, it's going to become kind of sooty, it's going to get more kind of oil-soluble byproducts, it's not going to burn efficiently and cleanly, you know, it's not going to be a complete combustion, you know, pretty much.
Sure.
So really, that's the only thing we do is just, you know, burn a fire the way it wants to burn. I think, you know, in general, kind of my theory on fires is if you put and with anything really, you know, if you put a piece of wood on a fire, don't make it do something it doesn't want to do naturally. If it wants to burn fast, let it burn fast. If it wants to burn a little bit slower, let it burn a little bit slower. You can't mess with nature, you know,
right.
Like you got a piece of wood that's dried out, it's got a certain amount of moisture or it doesn't, or it's a certain, you know, type of wood or whatever you're dealing with, just let it do its thing.
You know, one of the things that I won't say irritates me, but
there's, well, I'm on the phone, so
okay,
know.
All right. But you know, there's a big market for they sell these little bags of smoker chips.
Yeah.
You know, and everybody, not everybody, certain people out there who don't understand, I guess, in my world, that they put them in a bucket of water. They've got a nice fire going. It's got a nice clean smoke to it, as you're saying. And all of a sudden, they're putting these soggy, wet chips on it. And yeah, it makes smoke.
Well, that's the thing, though. It actually kind of doesn't make smoke, because I think the thing a lot of times that people are thinking about, you know, when they soak firewood or wood chips or mm-hmm. wood chunks or whatever, is the stuff that they're seeing is actually steam.
Right.
And they're actually cooling off their fire through evaporative cooling.
Right.
So it's really, you know. Cooking the wood doesn't make a lot of sense for me.
No, I mean, I have some dry wood chips, and sometimes I will actually put those on the fire, not directly in the middle, but on the side, and sometimes they smoke a little bit like that, and you might, you know, get some effect that way. But throwing water on fire just doesn't ever work for me. I'm sorry.
But yeah, it's kind of one of those things. Water and fire don't necessarily get along really well.
No, I understand completely. You say you have a bumper sticker on your truck that reads, "Brisket is my spirit animal." You want to?
I think I do, actually.
You want to explain that?
And it's a bumper sticker for the show Barbecue with Franklin.
Sure.
It's just, you know, I thought it was neat. I put it on there. That's pretty much it.
No, I think it's great. I love all that kind of stuff. Let's jump over to brisket now. We talked a little bit about it a few minutes ago, but I want to get into it a little more in depth here. Brisket is the animal, if you will, of choice of a lot of people. Brisket is one of the
items you, if you're a barbecue competitor, you have to cook a brisket, so on and so on and so on. My guess is, Aaron, excuse me, that there's 95% of the people out there don't know how to cook a brisket. Just it's a large piece of meat, and they're not used to cooking something that big, first of all.
Well, I think with something that is that big, you know, the obvious things is that it's expensive.
Right.
Granted, cost is coming down now, but, you know, it's a big piece of meat. It's pretty expensive per pound. You don't want to mess it up. You sure don't want to have to waste it. And you also, you know, want to have a lot of people that you can feed. You don't want to just cook a brisket for two people for dinner. That's not really very good.
No.
You know, so that's kind of the downside of it. But I think the positives on cooking brisket, in my opinion, is just kind of a big, dumb piece of meat. You know, granted, there are two muscles, and it's pretty finicky. There are a ton of details that go into it. But it's pretty easy to get a pretty good brisket.
Yeah.
It might not be quite as easy to get an amazing piece of meat out of it. You know, that certainly takes some practice, I would imagine. But, you know, it's. I feel like ribs are way more tricky than brisket is because it's such a fast cook. I mean, you've got such a smaller window of air.
Sure.
On a big brisket, you know, you're cooking something for 16 hours, 18 hours, 12 hours, whatever. You know, you've got a much larger window of air in there, I feel like. Things aren't moving as fast. You can really just kind of watch it and just kind of get a relationship with it and everything. And, you know, you can have time to think about things.
Well, it's a bit esoteric about brisket, but I guess I never thought of it that way.
Yeah, I mean, I think so, though.
No, I agree with you. And the reason I said most people don't know how to cook it is they try to cook it too fast. Maybe they don't trim it correctly, which we'll talk about in a second. You know, we've pointed out on this show through some other guests and my own rattling on, don't try to cook a brisket on a gas grill because that's not going to work. That's not going to work out too good for you. But I just think that because I love brisket and I love cooking a good brisket and I love spending the day cooking a nice brisket. But don't think you're going to get it done in an hour or two.
Definitely not. And that's kind of the thing, you know, kind of the point for the book, with there not being very many recipes. I was really pretty hesitant to put any recipes in there at all.
Sure.
Barbecue's not about recipes. It's about poking at something. It's about smelling something. It's about looking at a fire. It's about, you know, picking up a piece of meat and being able to tell if it's tender or not. And that's kind of the thing with brisket, that there is no, like, really, you know, like, set rule for it. There's no, like, you know, an hour a pound, or there's none of, you know,
right,
this temperature. Like, temperatures are different on every cooker. Bottom heat, top heat, airflow, radiant heat, convective heat, all that stuff. How thick is the brisket? How cold was it when you put it on? How much marbling is in there? How much subcutaneous fat is on there? So there's really no actual formula. But that's kind of the great thing about something that takes so long, is that you really kind of have time to think about it. Be like, well, I don't think it's cooking fast enough. Well, the edges are getting a little dried out. Well, I can hear it cooking. It's probably too hot. You know, so you really kind of can kind of learn as you cook it.
Sure.
You know, that being said, when you mess it up, it sure hurts a lot more than it would if you just messed up a steak.
Yeah.
You can cook another steak pretty quick, but might be hard to recover from a bad brisket.
No, it's true. And like you said, it's a big piece of meat. It can get expensive to do it. But when it's good, it is really good. That's
In worst case scenario, chop it up and throw some sauce in there.
Yeah. Oh, I think a lot of people do that. Okay, Dire Straits, coming back up underneath us here. Thank you, Aaron Franklin, for, I don't know if I have to actually thank him because he already did this about 4 months ago, but it's cool. Anyway, both Stephen Reichlin and Aaron Franklin will be on the show again coming towards the summertime, so you can sit back and enjoy that. We're going to take a break, and we are going to be back and wrap up this week's edition of In Case You Missed It on Barbecue Nation right after this.
It's full-flavored radio, Barbecue Nation with JT on FM News 101.
Welcome back to the Nation, Barbecue Nation, Mark Knopfler and Sultan's a Swing. I love that song. That's probably their most famous song, I would think.
Yeah, I'd say so.
I'd say so. I mean, I used to play it a lot on my other radio shows, so I would say that. next week, the 26th, coming up, don't forget, at Hometown Hearth and Grill, they've got a new grand opening on their store out right there on the Portland-Gresham borderline. So you'll want to attend that. I'm going to probably be there. Also, this weekend, if you have nothing to do, which I can't imagine that, but if you're going up to, you know, say, Chilliwack, B.C., just right up the road a little bit there, they have the Barn Burner Barbecue Championships. It's a Kansas City competition. Or if you're going a little further east, you can go down to Tupelo. You ever been to Tupelo, Mississippi?
No, I have not.
Okay, well, we'll just let that go. Anyway, they have a competition there in Tupelo called the Tupelo Barbecue Duel. This is the number two part of the contest. We talked about the other one a couple, 3 weeks ago. So there you go. If you're kind of at opposite ends of the country, so to speak, you can jump on the barbecue highlight there. You got any news for us today, David?
Yeah, I got some interesting stuff out of France. The French now have access to their local butcher shop 24 hours a day. Several meat vending machines have began popping up around the country, and most recently in Paris. The local butcher said, "The vending machine offers a selection of our products, which prepare and vacuum pack ourselves. And we want to give our customers an additional service when they shop us closed." And so it looks like in France, they got some pretty restrictive laws about hours your shop can be open. And Sunday hours are pretty heavily regulated. And so they're trying to just make the butcher shop available 24 hours a day. And some people have been saying they like it because on the way home, if you work a night job, you can stop, pick up a steak, still cook it when you get home. And it seems to have raw meats, Bayonne hams, chicken, eggs, salami. So it's easy to eat or go home and prepare yourself.
Prepare, yeah. So it's aged and old aged.
Yeah, and I thought a great place to put one of these things would be outside of bars. When I'm stumbling home at 2 a.m., I could stop and get some savory treats.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Or you could actually put it in the commissary here at the studio.
Oh, yeah,
because,
yes.
You know, Court Johnson walked up to me this morning and said, "Did you bring me meat?" And I wasn't sure how to take that. But anyway.
You're like the candy man, but
yeah,
meat.
Yeah, I bring meat in here, but. Court was like, "The last two times I saw you, you brought meat." So I gave him a hug and sent him back to the Kink studio. So bye. So what else is on the news agenda?
I also, we got a story from Chattanooga where a man was caught shoplifting 15 pounds of meat in his pants.
There's a lot of jokes there, but we'll just let that go. So is he just like burger or steaks or... the obvious salami or what?
No, it looks like it's all steaks. And the manager said, "When I went to approach him to ask him if he needed anything, it was very clear that he was trying to make his way out the door as quickly as possible." So I like to imagine him waddling out there as quick as he can, meat dropping out the leg of his pants all the way out the door.
Oh, there's more jokes there, but I'm going to let those go. Like I was telling you earlier that my mom worked in a grocery store. And we didn't grow up in a very affluent community. It wasn't poor, but it was just, you know, middle of the road type thing. And back in the 60s, when I was a little kid, some of the guys were coming home from Vietnam and stuff, and they would have their army fatigue jackets on, and they would come in and fill those up with steaks. Now, these guys were in rough shape, okay?
Yeah.
So I'm not, there's no criticism from me on them like that, but those fatigues, you know, they had a liner and you could stuff meat in there and zip it back up or snap it back up like that. So, and they would walk out the door and then the manager would just kind of follow them out and very quietly say, you know, "You want to give those back?" But they'd usually let them keep one or two because they were hungry. That was the kind of thing to do. Well, it looks like we're running out of time. I hope you guys have enjoyed the In Case You Missed It show. And we'll be bringing you a fresh show next week. Of course, with new interviews, we've got lots of good stuff on the horizon here. So for David and myself here at Barbecue Nation, we appreciate that. McGarian is on his way out of the bar into the studio as we speak. So until next time, folks, have a good week and do some smoking, grilling, or cooking out there. Take care.
Way on down, sir. Barbecue Nation is produced by Alpha Media USA in association with JTSD Productions, LLC. All rights reserved. Copyright 2016. Barbecue Nation is produced and tolerated by David Shurtleff in Production Compound 4 High Above the Skyline of PDX. We'll be back next week with another edition of Barbecue Nation. Remember, a good long smolder is better than a 2-minute flameout. See you next week. Up under the lights, play his bass.